never thought I'd say this. I am your host, Jody Sweeten, along with
Celia Behar and George Michael, because he is the neediest fucking cat. So I am holding him like a baby. Really,
you know my fear of cats. It's not just a dislike. I'm not a cat person. It is I have a strange phobia of cats.
You're not the only one.
It's a mutual thing. But I will give George Michael the fact that he's very cute, and I think it's because he's very broken. And as we know, I often am attracted to broken things.
You said it, not me. I have a never...
You're a good friend, Celia. I mean, no.
Yeah, well, duh. I have a never thought I'd say this, and it's actually... It's our collective never thought I'd say this.
Okay, I just have a never thought I'd say this. I never thought I'd say I am having a good hair day, because I never do.
You really are.
But I'm having a good fucking hair day.
I know, we should take a lot of pictures.
I put a little scrunch spray in it, and I have my little glasses on. I'm feeling myself.
I'm taking a picture of you while you're... I just took a picture. I'm posting that.
Oh, yes, please do. Please.
I'm going to. All right, wait, this is our never.
Describe what I just did, which was a really cheesy pose. Well, people are going to see. If you follow us, I never thought I'd say this.
Yeah, you'll see it. I'm going to put, because we were supposed to do a live today, but we're not going to. I'll probably post this after after we record this episode, I'll post
it. Yeah, no, we can't do a live today. It's raining.
It's raining and we have other shit to do.
It's raining and I live in LA, which means I have to cancel my entire life.
That is a thing here, isn't it?
Absolutely. If there's water falling from the sky, no, we can't do that. No.
From the East Coast, I do not understand. I'm like, it's not like hot tar falling from the sky, you guys.
It could be. It could be. I mean, people drive about as well as if it were.
For somebody who, you know, was in the snow and ice her entire life, like to see LA people freak out when it fucking rains is one of the funniest things. Or I'm just like, okay, like calm down. It's just rain. You're all right. You're not gonna melt unless you're the Wicked Witch or my mom.
Which they've never been seen in the same room together. That's all I'm saying.
Yep, that's a true story.
I've moved up a notch in Bon Bon's ranking. That comment. Yeah,
I don't think she's a fan.
I'm just gonna say I think I'm out of the next book. I think I'm out of the next children's book. I wasn't gonna be a character, and now she's like, nope.
I don't know. She might need
me and Bastards are out. He and Bastards are out of the book, so
it's Pasadena. Okay. Oh my god, there was a house available. I'm moving, as you know, and there was a house I was almost gonna look at, and it was in Pasadena, and I was like, I honestly god like can't fucking live in Pasadena just because of that. Like, my mom has ruined a part of California.
That's for me. Such a shame. I was in Pasadena on Saturday. I went to Justin Bua's art gallery.
I saw that.
If you've never checked out Bua, go to @BUA. He's an amazing artist. He's been a professional b-boy. He was in Wild Style. He's been on the graph writing scene forever. Like, he's an amazing, phenomenal artist. And he gave me a print and I also purchased one and it was pretty awesome.
That's amazing.
I was down in Pasadena and I actually did think of you. I was like, oh, it's Pasadena.
Yeah. Did you also think of my boyfriend and the fact that he is not a professional b-boy with Wild Style, but you know, he did actually, you know, aspire.
That's
in his movie.
Right. Oh my God. I failed to mention that story. And I'm so glad about that.
All right. Ready? This is our never. I mean, I think you know what it is, but you maybe forgot because it was like maybe at this point.
It was more than 30 seconds ago. And I apparently have the fucking. What is happening?
Brain span of a gnat? I don't know.
Sorry, something. I just suddenly heard like a loud clanging noise, like right next to the garage wall. Sorry.
All of a sudden, Jody looked like my cat when it sees people. You know, like when all of a sudden cats are like in the middle of something, they just like stop in the middle of the room and they're like, what? Why?
Right,
what?
Yeah, sorry. It's just probably, you know, it's just a little PTSD acting up. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. I feel you.
Okay.
Here's the never that I cannot believe that we collectively said.
Oh boy, what did we do? Is this a corrections corner? Is this a...
No, it was when Jody and I were talking, we were FaceTiming the other day about, I don't even remember, I was bitching her about something. And Harper came into the room and got super nosy. And I was trying to get her out. And she's like, can I just sit in here? It's not like you're going to talk about things I don't know. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And at the exact same time, you and I said, sex. And she went, so what? And then at the exact same time, and she can't hear Jody, only I can because I have my ear button. And we both just went, butt sex. I said, you have to leave. We're talking about butt sex. And she goes, what? And I'm like, yeah, we're talking about butt sex. And she goes, in general or with each other? And Jody just goes,
oh, God.
Both. So I went, both. We're talking both? About.
Right. Which makes you more uncomfortable and which will make you leave the room?
That's what you said.
I did?
Yeah. Oh. You said, which one makes you more uncomfortable and what'll get you out of the room? So I said, both. Get out. And it just was one of those moments where I was like, this is what it's come down to as parents. To claim any of the privacy that we have at all is that we lie to our children about embarrassing things that we're talking about to get them to leave us alone. And even the most embarrassing thing I could think of, she was still arguing with me. Like, it didn't even do it.
It didn't matter. Right. Boundaries are pretty, like, they're, I mean, my kids will, I'm like, dude, I just got out of the shower. Can I have a moment?
No,
where's my iPad? Where's my, I'm like, fuck, man. My tits are out. Can you please give me a moment? You know what I mean? Like, you know, the way my bathroom is like the, you know, it's sort of open in the closet area. So like, you can't really like lock the door, you know? So they just like barge in. I'm like, you guys would have a fucking conniption fit if I so much as begun to open the door to your bedroom. When you're lying on your bed reading a book and no. You guys just feel free to walk in and be like, hey, oh, you're pooping. Okay, excuse me. I need to talk to you. And you're like, really?
I don't even say excuse
me. Not that I do that because I never do that because I'm a girl.
All right. I know you never poop. Oh, good Lord. We know I can't poop with my boyfriends, but no, my kids will come in if I'm trying to poop. And then they'll also like make comments to me about things. Like they're like, I'm like on the toilet and they're like, ugh. What are those underpants? Is that a thong? I don't like
it. You're like, would you go away?
Fuck out. Get out. Like,
it never, I never thought I'd say, yeah, that I have zero, yeah, like no privacy.
Like ever at all.
And they here's the thing. And I don't know if this happens with other parents too. Like my kids take liberties to like open a drawer where I'm like, don't want to see that drawer. Well, I'm looking for chocolate. Well, my friend, you're going to find a lot more than that. You know what I mean? Like, right. But it's so hard to like feel, you know, I think moms feel bad. I feel bad sometimes asking for privacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't want me though. They want to be in my business.
Or to just have an ear to listen to them or something, I guess. And so I know I feel badly because I don't want to be like, I don't want to talk to you, but I'm also like, But seriously, like, can you just leave me alone for like 5 seconds?
You know, I'm going to say I am trying to be like so much more. I'm trying to be so much less critical.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize like I just sometimes I think I like when they walk into a room and I don't want that, I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you? And I like my instant make you go away is to be critical.
Yeah.
And then I realize that I do that a lot. And I'm like, oh my God, am I just driving them away? Because I, you know, and so that's been my goal is to try and be less critical and like, think before I say it, like, do I need to comment on this? I mean, I'm pretty good about it, but it's hard. And I feel like, you know, and Zoe, I feel like sometimes I do direct more of it at Zoe.
Oh yeah. I think I directed more of it.
I'm trying to be more cognizant of that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. Although Lulu was really on my last nerve last week, just cause she wasn't, she does this thing that makes me like insane. And I actually had to like sit her down and say like, I need you to stop being so passive aggressive. Like she's 9 and she was being passive aggressive. And it's like this thing where, you know, she does something that's not okay. And she jumps to one of two things where she either like kind of snaps back at me or she does, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I'm like, don't do that. And I'll say, I'm taking, right. Listen, you abused this. I'm taking your iPad away. You don't get right. Any. And I said, you can have it, you know, for a little bit after school, but that's it. And she's like, well, I think you should probably just take it away from me forever then. Like,
right.
I really.
The martyrdom. Right.
I'm like, you know what? And I just like, I had to sit her down and be like, stop. But Harper called me out on something the other day because she was wearing something. And she, cause she likes to take her shirts, her t-shirts, and like tuck them in underneath so that they,
but that's a style now. That's a
thing. I guess so. And I was like, why do you do that? I said, I don't understand. It's so weird. And she's like, you know what, mom? I don't know why you have to pick on me like that. I'm sure I'll look back at pictures later and I'll be like, wow, that looked really stupid. But you know what? This is my path to take so that I can look back at those pictures and say, yeah, I look really stupid. And I was like, well, you do look really stupid. So go ahead and wear that then.
All I can say is I love boys' hat. That's all I can say.
Someone pointed out on the in our fans the other day that we never posted a picture of me wearing said hat.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to write it down right now.
I'm not going to do
it. I'm going to write it down and forget I wrote it down and then flip the page and I'm never going to see this again. But I would like to be noted that I'm writing it down. Post I love boys hat.
Uh-huh. Do you even have it? I don't feel like you have it. Have I sent it to you? I'm sure.
No, I think you have it, but I'm writing it there as a reminder to both of us.
I'm not going to post it.
No, you have to post that picture because it is evidence that you also looked ridiculous. Here's my question. Did your mom ever say anything to you?
My mom dressed me in really stupid shit. So I think the stupidest things that I ever wore, other than the I Love Boys hat, my mom probably bought me and dressed me in, maybe because she wanted me to look stupid. I don't really fucking know. Was there ever, I mean, in high school, for sure, she was like, you know, why do you have to wear fishnets with, you know, jean shorts and combat boots and all black? And why are, you know, I'm sure that's what they have. For sure. Now it's like it's made a comeback. Now it's a
thing.
Yeah.
Now it's a thing.
That's what I wore that almost every day of my life. So, yeah, I don't know. Yes, of course, it's their own path, but it's fucking hard to not go on them. And also, as you mentioned, it's like when your nerves are like graded down all day and you have no privacy, sometimes it's easier just to be like, okay, but you know what? You look dumb.
You know? My impatience level has been pretty crazy. And, you know, I know here's something that we have been talking, that's been being talked about here in California, in LA. Uh-huh. Our kids are going to go back to school soon. Probably by the time this episode airs, they'll be
almost back.
Mm-hmm. I think my older one is going back a little earlier because she's at a different school. She's at a private school. Mm-hmm. And I am deciding to send them back. And I think your kids have decided that they're not going to go. Going to stay distance learning.
Yeah, Mike, Jesse and I decided, their dad and I decided together, and they don't want to go back. They're not really, they don't feel ready. And they also both just feel like they finally are in a routine and they get it. And they just really don't feel like trying to like go. Yeah. And Harper, especially, I don't like the high school plan for LA at this point anyhow, but to go and try and navigate high school for 6 weeks and she goes to two campuses. So there's, you know, different transfer issues.
Right.
She's got the zoology program. She's just, you know, she's like, I would rather just call this year a wash and start fresh in, you know, her sophomore year, and none of her friends are going back anyway. So she wouldn't know anybody in the zoology program, like when she gets there. And Lulu just isn't like, she's got such a small class as it is. She doesn't feel ready. She just wants to weigh out the year. She doesn't want to go back for a small time. So I don't want to disrupt them. That's pretty much it. It's working for us crazily, right? but it is.
You know what? Because Zoe is in middle school, but at a private school, their classes are smaller so that she will be going back and just staying with like a small cohort group. I think they're still doing planning as to how that all works. But then B will be going back as well, but she's still in elementary. She's in fifth, but I'm just so happy because B's, greatest heartbreak was that she wasn't going to get to see her friends again. And they were all going to go to middle school and break up. And that was it.
Yeah.
And, I, in that regard, I'm so happy. And Zoe's sort of the same though. She's like, I want to go, but I'm like, and I think it's, again, the adjustment and all that. But I, for my girls, the routine is not the best. the work habits are not the best. And so I, you know, I think it's really, it's time for them to go back for my kids. But I love that we're doing, you know, you're doing you and I'm doing me. It's like not even a...
No, I don't think there's... Yeah, there shouldn't be any judgment there or anything like that. I think every family needs to figure out what works for them as best they can right now with the information that we have. Obviously, you know, if numbers were to go back up, the plans are going to change in LA anyway, and let's hope we don't get there. You know,
I mean, I think at this point the plans are going to change no matter what. So
yeah, I know. Year has taught us, I guess.
Right. Oh my God. I just wanted our listeners to know though, that we actually don't always do everything the same.
The other does. Yeah.
That we, that we actually do have, two separate brains and two minds. Right. Which together may form an entire one, but,
And together came up with telling my oldest daughter that, you know, she had to get out because we were talking about butt sex, which, you know, I think that's a good,
We weren't.
I mean, really a conversation I could say we've like honestly ever had in depth. I don't know that that's something that's like, we like float around for like, hey,
it was, it was
about in a while,
just the tip of that conversation.
That's what he said. Oh my God. Let me tell you,
I was trying to be inappropriate.
Me just tell you that, Harper is super into that's what she said, you know, or that's what he said.
Right.
Comments a lot. And unfortunately she's like really good at it to the point where it's like,
filthy.
So the other day she said one and it was so filthy. And I just looked at her. She's like, that's what he said. And I went, oh my God, Harper, that is disgusting. And Lulu just goes, Harper, you're gross. That's what me said. And I was like, oh, Lulu.
You and that, right. And yeah.
You're funny and you meant to be, because usually Lulu's funny when she doesn't necessarily mean to be.
Right. When she has no idea.
She also was running.
Speaking of.
Yes.
Me and Lulu.
Oh, yeah.
Are going to be our final guests for this season. Just for this season, guys. Don't worry. We're coming back for season 4. But the season finale of season 3 is going to be B and Lulu, and they're coming on the show, and oh my God, it's going to be insane.
Which will be the next episode, I believe.
I think so. Yeah.
It'll be the next. So everyone brace themselves. If we could give you some sort of dictionary to follow along with things that they say, we would, but we don't have one because we don't fucking know.
Yeah. So like, we'll be doing our best to translate, but it's going to be awesome and hilarious. And I can't imagine what they're going to say. And
neither.
You know who we, you know who else we need to get on the show?
Who?
I feel like our great and wonderful producer, Emily, needs to come on the show.
I was just going to say that before we started talking, you know,
Emily's face right now is like, oh no.
But it's going to happen. Emily. So here's the thing. Emily has said from the beginning of the show, or really at least maybe like 3 episodes in, that we're like the best birth control, that there is. And so Emily, Jody and I actually
I'm scared in the chat.
Emily, Jody and I actually discussed this a while ago, that at some point, because you actually did say in the beginning of the pandemic, anything goes in the pandemic, and that you would come on and you would talk with us, that this is the last show that we hope we are going to have in the pandemic, not together. So we think that you should unmute yourself.
How dare you use my words against me? See?
So it's time, Emily, to unmute yourself. And I think you can tell the audience what it's like to be our producer for this shit show of a fucking...
Emily is the great and wonderful Wizard of Oz, actually.
Yes, right.
Yeah, she is the thing that keeps this show running.
Yep. Come on, Emily. Unmute.
She's like, I
did it. She did it. It's unmuted. Okay. Yes. You can put the camera on so we can see you, because we know what you look like and they can't see you.
Nobody's going to see you, Em. Just us.
Us.
But I didn't realize you meant right now. I just went in my closet so that you guys can't hear my boyfriend talking.
Oh, it's fine.
And I also just
Someone
stopped.
Someone is doing construction literally right on the other side of my office wall, like the neighbor behind me. I don't know what's happening, but it sounds like something's being screwed into my wall.
Oh my God, Emily, for real? I thought you were going to say, I didn't know you meant right now. And I wasn't even listening to the show. I had like left. Like, it's like, I don't.
Actually, I was eating a huge spoonful of peanut butter. So hopefully my voice doesn't sound absolutely disgusting.
No, it doesn't. And this is the first time that our audience is ever hearing you. Because every so often we will out a picture of you, but
yes, or we, you know, read her comments in the chat where she's like, oh my God.
Well, and I hashtag about you almost every post I put up. I will try to throw in something about Emily as much as I can. When I can think of something, sometimes it's just like, Emily, quit
your internet
anymore.
Oh, there goes Celia.
Yeah, your internet is just sucks today. What did you say?
I'm telling you, it's horrible. I was just saying about I hashtag about Emily when
yes, Emily's hashtags are, I mean, your hashtags are pretty amazing. By the way, everyone, when we post on Never Thought I'd Say This, you'll always know it's me because the post goes up and there's no hashtags. And then Celia just texts me and goes, I'll hashtag it later. I'm like, oh yeah, you should do that because I'm not as good at it. Like, she's way better at the stupid hashtags than I am. So that's how you know who's posting. If there's no hashtags, it's me.
Yeah, that's true. So Emily, how has it been being, we're on season 3, right? Is this season 3? Yep,
that's right.
Yes, even I knew that.
I don't remember anymore. How's it, how?
Which means.
Was this what you thought it would be with us when you signed on for this fucking job?
I mean, the fact that I'm standing in my closet and we're doing this over Zoom, which I had not heard of 2 years ago, it's definitely not what I thought it would be. You guys are so much better than, I mean, the expectations were high because I had met with you both and knew that you were amazing, but I didn't realize quite how unhinged you were.
How what we were? How disgusting we are? Yeah.
How unhinged you were in the best.
Fair enough.
In the best possible way.
Yeah.
In the best possible way. So
that's fabulous.
So I've learned, I think the truth though is, and this is probably something that all of the listeners can relate to, is that I've learned so much about parenting from the two of you, because even though that's something that like I'm interested in, I'm not a parent for those who don't know, I'm interested in it. I've watched various things. I've even read like a parenting book or two, just as someone who's a child of parents and is working through their own stuff.
Just so our readers are clear, Emily, you did not hatch our listeners. And our readers for the, you did.
Yeah, believe it or not, I do have
a child of parents. Okay.
I do have two biological parents, believe it or not. Yeah. something else you guys know about me now.
Oh, thank you for getting personal.
But no one talks about the nitty gritty, in such a real way. And so I've learned, I think also it's like giving permission. So I think something that a lot of people think about, like myself, because having kids is something that I think I want to do, but I haven't done yet. I think, God, it sounds like it's going to be terrible some of the time. And is that just me? Do I just think that because I would be a shitty mom, or like I don't, or like I shouldn't be a mom? But the fact that you're both mothers and that's a significant part of your identity and it's shitty a lot of the time, and that's okay, is I think a big thing that I learned.
It is shitty some of the time.
Some of the time it is. And then some of the time, like, it's awesome. Some of the time, I mean, I guess I look at it like my view of parenting has sort of changed. And some of it has been due to actually doing this podcast.
Yeah.
But same. It's been, it's changed from like, I have to teach you how to be in the world, to I think I'm realizing, and I think it's also kind of what happens as you get older, is I'm no longer teaching you, as the kids get older, how to be in the world. I'm hoping that who you are will grow into what you want to be. You know what I mean? Like, it's more, it's not about me instilling who I want them to be, but I'm just here as like this sort of usher guardian, like putting up bumper rails to whoever they're going to be. And it's entirely different than what my expectations were when I held this little baby and, you know, had her in my arms and had her strapped to my chest. Like, you don't think about them becoming a whole person. And I feel like through doing this podcast and talking so much, like, we really are at that place now, and our kids are old enough where we're like, damn, we've shaped a little bit along the way, but now they're kind of off being their own person. And it's weird as a parent.
I've been having these moments recently where I honestly get so sad, even just thinking about them going back to school. Like, I was like, I don't want them to, somehow we got into a groove, you know, in the pandemic where, I mean, we went through hell and then kind of came out the other side. And now, you know, it's a nice thing that we have going. And I even like them going back to school, like I realize that opens up, you know, freedom for me. But I also think about them going to college, especially Harper, like knowing I only have 3 more years. I'm not kidding. I get like, there are times that I get like sad and I feel like crying, which is crazy because when she was born and wouldn't sleep for days on end and, you know, couldn't nurse well. And I was just crying, thinking about the fact that I'd ruined my life. I mean, no joke. I don't mean to sound like shitty about that. Really, I remember the third day home, and given I was like halfway into the PPD at that point, but like thinking to myself, what did I do? I've ruined my life. I've ruined my life. My life is never going to be the same. Why did I fuck with it? Why did I do this? And then, you know, obviously that doesn't stay the same, but it's weird and it must be strange for you, Emily, to like listen to this. I mean, we've been doing this now for, you know, 3 seasons. And so our kids are getting older before your eyes as well. So the stories are changing.
Right.
And I think that's the other interesting thing is how seeing how both of you have evolved as parents through the course of recording the podcast, as your kids have evolved and as they've gotten older and as you're dealing with new challenges with them. That part has been really fascinating as well.
So what's the thing that we've said, like that has scared you the most? Was it the pink eye that you get it from duty? Was that it last week? Cause I knew it, you were like, what?
When you give birth, was it that? That was the one for me. I was like, oh no, I don't know. Wait, what? Yeah.
The birth stories. And then, yeah, there's something particularly terrifying about all the like gross bodily function thing, like the vomit, the poop, like all of that, you don't really think about ahead of time. So realizing how much you're coming into contact with that. But in terms of, you know, the more nitty gritty, like emotional side of parenting, honestly, probably the most recent stuff about the older girls becoming teenagers and starting to kind of have that more combative relationship where you guys are really triggered by them and they're really triggered by you, because those years were definitely the hardest for me and my mom. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me back to remembering how that was. I kind of forgot about it because now we're really close. And that part of it just seems really, really difficult. And honestly, just impossible to avoid when it's mothers and daughters.
I gotta be honest. I never thought I would have that, like the normal teen. I was like, oh, I'm a cool mom, like the fucking mom from Mean Girls, which is a gift that I send to Zoe all the time. And she just goes, oh my God, stop.
I'm a with cool what? Mom. What is it? What's the gift?
It's the one where from Mean Girls with the mom who is, oh my God.
Amy Poehler.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I'm a cool mom.
Yeah.
And I'd send that to Zoe. But I always thought like our relationship would be, that it would be, you know, we'd be cool. We'd be easy. It would be, you know, when it was not, I'm a cool mom. Like you can talk to me about stuff. It's going to be fine. And I never, and I now realize like, it's such an important time for them to be that way. Like to be sort of defiant and oppositional and carving out their own way and like going back and thinking about those things that I said or I did or how I would say just something horrible and awful and wretched or do something so stupid. And my mom would lose her fucking mind. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe my mother. She's losing it. And she's so cool. And she, you know, and like that martyr bullshit. And now looking at it, like if that were me, oh, we would have been way worse. You know what I mean? Like my mom is a saint. She has more patience than I do.
This was the part of parenting that I was always the most scared of, honestly, because my relationship with my mom, I think, really came to a head right around now, you know, where I would just remember being like, this, something's really wrong in our house and her not wanting to own any of it. And then it sort of, you know, continued to, I think, you know, degenerate after that. And so like, there's times where I hear things come out of my mouth though. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm my mom. Like oh. My mom, I don't even know how to handle that shit.
Right. You know what I will say, like talking to my mom, I have becoming a mom really changed my relationship with my mom in a big way.
Yeah. But in the opposite way.
Right. But I think that's what becoming a parent does. You either start to sort of see those toxic traits in your family and go, oh, or you kind of just fall into it and you're like, this is what it is. But you know, for me, I just suddenly had so much more empathy for my mom and like understanding of her experience and truly that thing of like, you don't get it until you're in it. You don't get what it's like to have someone that is literally a piece of your body, an extension of you that you love, that is a piece of your heart, you know, even walking around in the world doing stupid things that break your heart and you have no control over it, or that put themselves in danger and you have no control over it. Like, I had so much more empathy for my mom being like, oh my God.
I remember before I had kids that I talked to my sister about that once. I may have said this on the podcast before, but like, I remember saying to her, like, what's the thing that you could tell me about parenting that I like most need to know that you were totally not prepared for? And she said, how much I resent them. And I was like, oh, 'cause they're dicks, you know? And she was like, no, because I had no idea that I could love anything as much as I love them, and that something could happen to them and I wouldn't be able to control it. And I resent the fact that makes me feel so scared and vulnerable and on a level I never understood. Yeah. And I think that's one of the best ways to like sum up, you know, parenting. Like, Emily, if you ever should, you know, decide to have kids, that to me is actually the thing to like hold on to more, is that that's what's the scariest. The rest of it, you know, throw up in the bunk bed at 3 a.m. on the top bunk, which has happened, you know, while disgusting, right, is not terrifying.
Remember the shrimp scampi incident. Let's remember the shrimp Alfredo or whatever.
Hey, Jody. You know what you need pretty much more than anything when you're in the middle of a move, like I just was?
A really good massage.
I mean, yes, sure, that would be nice. But what you definitely need is native deodorant.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff is a lifesaver. It is my favorite deodorant. And not only do I have like 6 different scents because I love it so much, while we were moving, I had the travel deodorant in my back pocket. So as I was getting sweaty and unpacking, I could just reapply it if needed.
Oh, that's amazing. And I bet you didn't need to do it often, because what I have found is even though Native is a natural deodorant, it stays on a really long time. Like, it works. The scents are amazing.
And it's aluminum free. Phenomenal. They care about what goes on your body and under your armpits. And that's why their deodorant ingredients actually include things that you've heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter.
Plus, none of their products are tested on animals, and almost everything is vegan. So don't eat your deodorant,
but maybe kind of wish that you could eat your deodorant.
Right. Well, the scent smells so good. I mean, coconut and vanilla, citrus, herbal musk, lavender and rose. Plus, they have all the rotating seasonal ones that are amazing.
Amazing. They make me so happy. And, you know, they also have new collections of body washes. And I mean, it's And then coming up, they are doing more plastic-free options, which I think is also phenomenal, because
you
want plastic in their deodorant. I love Native so much, and I know that you do too. And what's totally awesome is that anyone who is listening can make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/say this, or use promo code say this at checkout and get 20% off of your first order. That's nativedeo.com/say this, or use promo code say this at checkout for 20% off of your first order.
Ooh, I want the new palm leaf and bergamot. That's going to be my summer scent.
Ooh, I like that. I'm just going to get another one to put in my back pocket just in case.
I actually have a question for both of you about that. Just advice to someone. So I'm almost 31. I'm in a relationship with the person that I think that I'll have kids with. And it's a conversation and something that we discuss all the time now. And I'm wondering for both of you, how did you know that you were ready to have kids? Did you not know? Like, I mean, I don't know your stories in terms of like planned or unplanned, but I think that's the thing for me. It's like, I could have a kid right now, but I'm like, I don't know that I'm ready for that.
I always wanted to be a mom, but when, you know, both times I found out that I was pregnant were not planned. And I think I'm a person who, I think if I had planned it too much and that I would have potentially talked myself out of it. And I think the times that, you know, when my kids were born, it was like they came into the world to teach me at that moment in my life as much as I'm here to teach them, you know? So I would say, like, if you know it's something you want to do and you feel like you're, you know, financially ready, that's usually about the only thing that goes into planning it. Otherwise, like, if it's what you want to do, yes. And just know that you never can fully know it until you're in the situation, until you have a child, whether you've adopted them, whether you gave birth to them, whatever it is, it's an unimaginable, undescribable connection.
Yeah.
And I don't, there's nothing that prepares you for it.
Right.
I was older when we had kids, than Jody, because I'm older than Jody, but I also waited longer because I know I've said this.
Wait, you're older than Jody?
Fuck off. I'm older than fucking everybody, I think. Today in yoga, Jenny was my teacher, was like, raise your hand if you're like a young person that, you know, wants to go back to yoga in person. I raised my hand. She goes, Celia, put your hand down. You're already having hot flashes. Everyone knows. I was like, fuck you. I mean, I was kidding. I knew I wasn't young. Anyway, I did not think that I wanted kids. I knew going into my marriage that my husband wanted kids. You know, he had been really clear that he did. It seemed so far away because we'd been together since we were, you know, in our early 20s that I was like, yeah, I'll deal with that later. And I honestly thought, oh, by the time I hit 30, I'm sure I'll want kids. And then I hit 30 and I went back to grad school instead, you know, and I still was really on the fence. And I think much in the way that Jody thought she would talk herself out of it if she planned, I had to plan to talk myself into it. And in the end, it was my idea to have kids. Like, I was like, I think we should do this now. And it was really, really scary. But the whole time, I will say, with the first one, you know, it felt like an out-of-body experience. Like, I constantly was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. What does this mean? What's the next step? This is bizarre. What's happening in my stomach? Like, it was really weird. And for every stage of it, because from the second you leave the hospital, like as you're walking out with the baby and they like take off the alarm tag, you're like, you guys know I'm leaving with this. I just go
with this child.
I've never done this before. Like you're good. Someone tell the cops. Like, right. You know, and I rode home in the back seat of the car. Like we talked about this once, like next to the seat. Cause I was like, well, she's so little. Like you don't know. And then by the second, you know, you're like, yeah, all right. See, you know, beers.
Throw in the backseat. It'll be fine.
Like, but I'd open the door nursing, you know, with Lulu, like my boob would be out and the FedEx guy would come and I'd be like, yo, what's up? Where the first one, I was like, you know, like right. Crazy.
I just think no matter how much you plan it or how much you like, there's nothing that really prepares you for this wonderful heartache that is parenting. And that's the way I would describe it, is this amazing and wonderful love that teeters on the edge of pure terror when they begin to go be their own selves. which they are from the beginning. And it's just really our realization of it, I think, that that's the uncomfortable part. And I think that's a big, that's the biggest conflict in parenting is like, it's not that they're, you know, becoming their own human. They've always been that. But now we have to work on detaching ourselves from the results of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, as a licensed control freak, the thought of successfully doing that, because I mean, I have enough issues just trying to loosen the sort of grip on myself in terms of, you know, being self-critical or, wow, now this is just, I'm airing all of my shit to all of your listeners. But, you know, like the thought of having kids who maybe are super different than who I am and have a different way of going about doing things and a different way of moving through the world, and being able to sort of say, okay, like, I might not understand this, or, you know, from like Celia always talks about, like the questionable fashion choices to much bigger stuff, being able to kind of let go and even when you're terrified, say, you know, they're going to make some mistakes and I have to be okay with that. And that's part of their process. Like, that's a very, very scary thing to do, it seems like. But I feel like both of you do that really well with your kids.
Not all the time, first of all. Also, we have each other, you know. I had my sister before that, and we've had little mamas, which I think has made a difference, just to know that like you could go into like-minded moms and be like, what the fuck, you know. And we're both control freaks, Jody and I. There, it's the biggest lesson of like letting shit go where you can let it go as a control freak. I walked into my kids. I was like almost going to scream at them. And I said, fuck it. And I just closed the door.
Yeah. Like, I have to do that. No. I am an OCD type. I want everything a certain way. And, you know, and also being raised as a kid on a show, like I had expectations of myself. And I knew others had expectations of how I was supposed to be and how I could get things done and how responsible I was. And those are, you know, detaching my bullshit from what my kids are doing that's the hardest thing. You know, I mean, trust me, I will lay in bed sometimes and have this just moment take my breath away where I go, oh my God, I hope nothing ever happens. Oh my God. What if I let them go somewhere sometime and that's it, you know, like,
yeah,
that never, and, you know, I've talked to my mom before. She goes, that never goes away. She goes, you're 39 years old. She said, and every time you go out to a protest, she said, I don't feel like I breathe until I know you're home, or I don't, you know, you go travel somewhere and I worry, you know, and I always was like, oh my God, that's so ridiculous, mom. Like, I'm an adult. I know what I'm doing. And now I'm like, oh my God, I get it. You know, like seeing these people go out in the world, especially when you know your kid and you're like, yeah, okay, so you're 23, but you're an idiot. But you're allowed to go and get a rental car and travel the world and go and be away from me, and you don't need my permission. And oh my God, you need someone's permission because you can't handle this. And that's not, you know, those are the things I think that, and I think that's kind of the stuff that people don't really talk about, is that sort of bittersweetness of parenting, of wanting them to be these successful, wildly individual people, but that it's really hard to get your own feelings out of that, you know, and your own control and who you think they're supposed to be out of who they're becoming.
Do any of your friends, Emily, have kids yet?
Yeah. My friends are starting to have kids, some of them.
How has that been for you? Because I kind of remember being like, oh, we're here. Like when that happened.
It's amazing in that I get to have sweet little babies in my life. And then be able to say goodbye at the end of the visit and go home.
Very fussy. We're going to go. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah. But yeah, it definitely, I mean, I would be lying if I said that did not increase the pressure to do it. And I mean, like Jody was saying, I've always known that I wanted to be a mom. And then it's almost like once I start thinking about it too much, I'm like, oh, do I really want that? But yeah, there's definitely once all your friends start getting married, once they all start having kids, you feel like, oh, is it time for me? Should I be doing it? That's definitely starting to happen among my peers.
Are you like, listen to this fucking podcast that I'm producing? Because I mean, I tell you, it's a shit show.
As crazy as being a parent is, my ovaries still hurt every time I hold a little baby.
Yeah, me too.
I will be holding a baby and I like look at Mescal and he's like, just hold it. Just hold it. Like, just, you know, and I'm like, I know. I would not want to start all over but you know, like it's a lot. But at the same time, oh my God, there is something when you are a mom or when being a mom is something that you want, like you hold them and you're like, oh, I want to reproduce. I want to nurture something. I want, you know, so that's what I do with the dog.
That part, the biological part has gotten really intense. Like when I hold a baby on the drive home with my boyfriend, I'm like, so.
Right.
What are you doing tonight?
Right.
Ready?
I want to be. Right. Yeah.
It's like getting stronger, obviously, as I get older.
And you don't have, do you have nieces or nephews?
No. I have a brother. He doesn't have kids yet, but he's planning to. I mean, he'll probably start before I do.
I mean, that was, I think the, when I was like, okay, I think I want to do this was when my sister had Isabel, and I remember, you know, having them in the city with me, and my sister and her then husband had like gone out to do something and they left her with me. And she was like maybe a year old. And she was sitting on my bed with me watching a TV show. I think it was like Teletubbies. And she just reached over and, you know, grabbed my hand and was like holding my hand. And then she like put her little hand on my knee and like, you know, say, oh, ain't see ya yet? And like, you know, say something to me. And I was like, this is like, she's just, all she is love. Like, that's all she is. And that it was like the craziest feeling of being like, wait, I think I want that, you know? Little did I know. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. But yeah. I mean, you know, you definitely feel like it. And there's never an easy way to prepare for it. But I would like to think that the way we talk about parenting and the way parenting is being discussed and like the idea of kids, I feel like it's a little, you know, I think feminism has greatly influenced it. I think, you know, we are now allowed to be moms who everything isn't perfect, you know? And I think that's in large part due to the feminist movement of women not having to be these, you know, fake happy mothers and wives, but being like, look, this shit is hard and that's okay. And we're going to do it anyway. And it doesn't mean we don't love our kids. It doesn't mean I love being a mom. I love being a mom.
Yeah, me too.
But it's still hard. You know what I mean? Like, and so I think now the idea of feminism and using our voice and talking about what's really happening has changed the landscape of what parenting looks like and how we discuss it and how we feel in it and not as isolated as, you know, I think moms used to be.
I will also say this.
I mean, I know you can't really prepare, like you were saying, but I feel more prepared for just the conflicting emotions that I know are going to come with it from listening to you guys talk about it every week and knowing that there's no pressure to be perfect at it, to be a good mom, because that's the thing is your kids love you guys so much. And you're very open about the fact that you don't always know what to do. You question yourselves, you fuck up. And you're still amazing moms. And so being able to see that definitely, I think, makes it easier for people to feel like they can do it and do a good job, even if they're not perfect.
Well, the one thing I will say is that if you do decide to have kids, you will not ever regret it. I mean, that I can tell you, you know, without a doubt. There's never been a time, you know, even in that 2-week moment where I was just like a hot mess and I was like, oh my God, I ruined my life. You know, since that moment when that passed and hormones calmed the fuck down and I learned, you know, how to do some shit, I've never thought that again in my life. And it's, you know, the best decision I ever made was to have them, as hard as it can be to have them. I've never, ever, ever regretted it. And I never, ever will. And I work with a lot of moms. Most of my practice is moms. And, you know, I have moms that have kids with severe disabilities for that matter. And they would never say that they regret it either. You know, it's hard. And that's obviously 20 times harder. You know, when you decide it and you become a mom, either again, adoption, biological, doesn't matter. When that is your child, that's it. Yeah. Like, that just is.
Okay. No lie. Look at my hair. Doesn't it look thicker?
It does. And I was going to say, it's also super shiny. Like, you've got body that you don't usually have.
Right?
Yeah.
I have been using Pros shampoo and conditioner. I'm not even kidding you. I have seen such a huge shift in my hair. Like,
oh, that stuff is great.
Oh my gosh. I have really thin, really straight, really fine hair. As you know, I always joke about, you know, the three strands of hair on my head. I do. I just have thin, fine, straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
I am always trying to make my hair look like it's doing something. You know what I mean? Like I blow dry it, I do all this stuff. And with most other products, like, nothing happens. But I have been using the Pros shampoo and conditioner. My hair is fluffy. It's got body. It holds curl. It's so great. And it comes from a personalized quiz that you take.
Right.
And the quiz was super easy. I gave them, you know, I gave them information not only about my hair type and what I want to do, but also questions like my zip code, what I eat, how often I exercise, because all that stuff actually plays into how healthy your hair is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't think about that.
Yeah. Like, the zip code they ask, cause they want to see what chemicals are in, like, what's in your water. Is it hard water? Is it soft water? Like, how does that affect your hair? Does it dry it out? And I never thought about that stuff, but now that I've been using Pros, I can see what a difference, like, those things make and why you have to take those into account. So I got their package that comes with the pre-shampoo mask, mm-hmm. which I've been using once a week to, like, give my hair just a really extra conditioning treatment. And then the shampoo and the conditioner and their dry shampoo, which is like a powder.
Yes.
You oh my gosh. It like goes on your hair. It's like a powder. It's so great. You guys, I can't talk about Pros enough. Like, my hair that is usually just thin and flat and doing nothing. I've actually been getting compliments on having good hair days. So,
and they're B Corp certified too, which I love. And I know you do too, because, you know, you want things to be clean, and they stand by clean and responsible beauty. Every formula is sustainably sourced and cruelty-free. We love a cruelty-free thing.
Yeah.
And it can, you know, accommodate virtually any preference, including vegan, gluten-free, and more. Cause you don't think about the fact that, you know, that stuff can end up in you.
We have a friend who is very, like, gluten intolerant. And if it's in anything, pills or shampoos, anything, it really affects people. So if you need that, this is a great product for you. So, you guys, if you want to have beautiful, softer, shinier, fuller, stronger, more wonderful hair, here's what you have to do. Pros is the healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. So take your free in-depth hair quiz and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/say this. That's pros, PROSE.com/say this for your free in-depth hair quiz and 15% off.
I'm going to go get more right now. I love it. So I know we scare the shit out of you on here, and we put you on the spot by making you come on today.
But, you know, the other thing that gives me a lot of comfort, and that I've really learned from both of you, is that you're still who you are. You're moms, and you're also crazy potty mouth, you know, nutcases.
Yeah,
and
we are.
I think that's also, I mean, and we can attribute a lot of that to the feminist movement too, but there's definitely this sense, and it still kind of exists, where people have a child and all of a sudden they're the Madonna, and all of a sudden they're so wholesome and they're perfect and they've changed. And of course you're going to change on a really deep biological level when you have a child, whether you're adopting or you're having the kid biologically, but it doesn't mean that you have to become this like neutralized, censored version of yourself. And I really got to see that firsthand with the two of you. So that's like another big thing that I've learned that is such a good thing.
Aww. That's good, because that's a trap I fell into when I first had Harper, and even I think a little bit of Lulu, of like just not being who I was, of being that sort of censored, calming it down, you know, trying to be everything all at once to everybody. And right. I really did lose myself. And that I see that a lot with moms. And I do hope that, you know, we make it okay to be potty mouth and stay yourself, because you can't maintain that.
I mean, I think, you know, you and I have talked about it before, and I've talked about it with my mom and stuff. And, you know, even the conversation I have with her today, like, you're you before your mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You are yourself. You have your life. You have all of that of yourself before you become a mom. And being mom doesn't overtake that. It becomes a piece of that, but that whole self still exists. And I think, you know, our goal, I know other podcasts, I'm Mom So Hard, Good Moms, Bad Choices, Bad Choices really does it, talking about like, I still want to feel sexy. I still want to feel hot. I can still enjoy those things. Like, I still have pieces of me that are, you know, that I go out and I am in the world that don't necessarily involve my mom piece. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not like a bad thing. That's not something to be ashamed of, that somehow, oh my God, you know, you're not, you're going out and enjoying, you know, X, Y, or Z, but you have kids. It's like, well, right. And they're taken care of, and they're this and they're that. And I still can have, you know, all of the things that I had in myself before that.
Yeah.
And your kids are better for it. Your kids are better for seeing you as like multidimensional people who don't just live to serve them, but have lives. And
right.
I mean, that can only be empowering for all four of your girls.
I mean,
they might disagree with you, by the way.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes. I think for sure my girls are like, you know, they don't understand when I have to go work or go away for a month or anything like that. But I tell them, I go, this is part of being an adult and, you know, a working adult. And sometimes you have to make choices that are hard, but you know that you'll get through them and it's okay. And you'll miss people. And then you go work and you come back. And I think like in doing that, we show our girls and we show our kids that like, it's okay to have, you know, it's okay. Again, back to the feminist movement. It's okay to do what men have done for their entire existence, which is have a kid and then go to work. It's not solely, you know, and my girls definitely see that. So I think that's really informed who they become.
And they will grow to appreciate that so much. Like, I remember when my mom was home raising me for like the first 10 years, and then she went back to work. And I remember, I mean, I was so spoiled by that when she was going back to work, I remember me and my brother like cooking hamburger helper for dinner alone, like crying, like just couldn't believe how terrible it was. And we were not nice to her about it. And looking back, I, you know, she gave me permission to go out and like live the life that I wanted to live. And it's so meaningful to me now that she did that. So that's going to be their experience too, no doubt.
And it's also so hard when we come to those moments and realize it and then know like, oh my God, my mom was probably feeling so conflicted. And here I am being an asshole, making it all about me. And now I'm
such an asshole.
Like, I think you learn that as you grow up. But again, when you become a parent, you're like, oh my God, I know my mom must have been feeling so conflicted. And so like, am I doing the right thing? Am I not? What am I doing? And here I am, you know, giving her a hard time about it, thinking that she doesn't care. You know, like my kids, you don't care about this. And you're like, oh my God, I care so much that I can't argue with you anymore, you know? So
I've certainly
had least you both
about being the adult. She's like, why do I feel like I'm more the adult today than you are? She's, and you know what? A lot of times she's not wrong. And Emily, you'll appreciate this. The new, cause I know you guys are, I think it's you guys, the new Punky Brewster, you know, promos are out. The trailers are out. And Harper has no idea who Punky Brewster is, right? Like that's not in her wheelhouse. So when she saw the trailer, she just turns to me and she goes, she reminds me of you. And I was like, same production company, you know, like, just so you know, like,
right.
No, But she's not wrong. You know, I'm running around in overalls and like shaking my butt at them. Right. Sometimes I think they appreciate it. And sometimes I think they do have moments where they're like, can you just please act more like a normal mom? You know, and I'm like, nope. It sucks for you.
And actually, just there's probably so many and I'll stop. But the other thing that I learned from both of you that I never really internalized before is you both admit to your kids when you've fucked up, or you admit to your kids when you don't have all the answers. And
yeah,
that was not my experience growing up. And it's incredibly empowering. And I feel like so good for your kids to just be like, you don't always have to see me as someone who's constantly in control, because that's not real. Right. And it's being not, open with them not, about that, I feel like is amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that we haven't completely soured you on the idea.
Yay! Look at, we are doing good in the world, Celia.
I guess. I mean, I think I even hashtagged the other day, like something to the effect of like, Emily has hermetically sealed her vagina shut. Like I'm pretty sure that was a fucking hashtag.
Right. But now she hasn't. And now we have encouraged someone.
No Gorilla Glue was used on Emily's vagine, so that everyone was-
Yeah, now you know the truth that right. You positively influenced me, and my first daughter, Jody Celia, Oprah, will Oprah. Have you to thank.
Right. It's Jody. It's going to be Jody Celia Winfrey, though, right? Because that
she said Oprah. She said Jody Oprah. Okay, Oprah.
Got it.
She knows to get it in there.
Oprah Michelle.
I know.
Neil Patrick
After
Harris.
Three seasons, I know.
Oprah Michelle, Neil
long,
Patrick.
It's right. It's going to be so long, but it's all of the people. Because that way, whenever you hashtag your baby, all those people will also be.
And that's what it's all about. That's why you
right. Because that's what it's all about these days.
Social media. Posting on social media.
Speaking of things that it's all about these days.
Yeah.
It's all about playing our game. And I think Emily should play with us.
I agree with you.
Emily, you're in on the game with us this week. The Anne, for those of you that don't know, it is just a fun little game that we play, asking questions about each other that we may not normally ask.
All right.
Why do you have an evil grin on your face?
Because it's a good one. I just picked a good one. And I think it's a good one that we could each answer for each other. Does that make sense?
I mean, not until you ask the question, really.
Fuck's sake. Okay. Here's the question. It's which one of our experiences made you love me the most?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right? It is a good one.
Which one of your experiences made me love
you? Of our experiences? Yeah, made you love me the most. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go first I'm going to answer about my thing about Emily.
Well, that's what I'm going to answer about Emily. And I was
okay, you go first. I wonder if it's
I feel like we might all have the same one, but okay. Well,
it's when she came to the show.
Yes, that was it. Yes.
That yeah. was so yep. fun and so awesome. And just fun because, like, you know, the three of us have sat in my kitchen at the table bullshitting and like created something. And then we got to go and see it on its feet and see it live and do our, you know, our banter and our fun and our ridiculous demonstrations. And Emily got to see it. And, you know, she's been a part of this crew and it's been fun. So. That I think was why.
Well, and the fact that you surprised us was yes. pretty awesome. We were on the runway about to take off from San Francisco together. And we had just said how bummed we were that you couldn't make it, although we totally understood. And literally within seconds, you texted us both and said, or emailed us and said, I'll see you there. And we were yeah. like, what?
Like, oh my God. That was great.
And by the way, for the listeners, Jody and Celia are so, I mean, they could have easily and should have like demanded, like, of course our producer should be at the show. They never even like, they didn't even go down that road. And so I got to surprise them. It was like, I knew from the beginning, of course, like foregone conclusion, I'm going to be at their first live show. But they're the least diva-y, most amazing people to work with that I got to surprise them, which was great. And it's giving me so many warm, fuzzy feelings.
I know.
Which
and also hope
after
for future live shows.
Yeah. More live
yes.
shows. More live shows. Yes.
Yeah.
People yes. And after the fact that you guys just cruelly surprised me into jumping on this episode while I was innocently stuffing my face with peanut butter, this has made me remember how much I love you both and love working on the show and just respect you both so much as moms. Aww. So much.
Well, we love you. And we've said it many times, you know, behind your back that we feel so fucking lucky that you're our producer and that, you know, you got it from the beginning and that just, you know, was the most amazing thing.
Oh, it's a big Emily love fest.
I love it.
Okay, so now we have to, now you and I have to do each other.
Well, I know mine.
That's what she said. No, not like that, but.
Ew, that's what me said. I know what mine is for you. Well, yeah, I know what mine is.
I know what mine is for you.
What can I say mine?
Yeah.
Mine was the at 4 o'clock in the morning when my sister died, that I texted you and you wrote me back right away because you had the phone next to your bed because you knew it might go and that way and called me right away and we cried a lot on the phone and you were like, I can't believe I can't come because you were about to leave for Vancouver, I think, to shoot something.
Yeah.
And you were like, what can I do for you? And I said, I just need like a girls' night when we get back. And you planned an entire thing and had my back. And that, and the fact that, you know, you've been there for her kids also, you know, when they've been in places that weren't great and you've helped out and sent them things and done stuff for them, having actually never met them in real life so far because of, you know, the way the world has been.
Right.
But that's, you know, I think, and there's, you know, there's many, many moments that I've loved you the most, but certainly that was, I think, the main one.
Aw, thanks. You. Mm-hmm. You know, for you, I would say what made me love you more was, you know, again, going back to Julie, but watching how you took care of her and how you stood up for her and how you took care of the kids and stood up for them and handled it while going through all of your own bullshit. You had such strength through it. And you also, like, you were still running Mamas and you were still fundraising for other families and you were doing so much. And I think at some point I was like, hey, you should stop doing so much. But I also, you're one of the most giving, all in, how can I help people that I know? And I just respect you so much for that. Like you're not just, you know, talk, you take action and you know how much I respect that. But I just, the way you handled your sister, which was one of the most heartbreaking things that I'm sure you will ever have to do. And the way you came through it and not rose to the occasion, but the strength that you found when you didn't think you had it. That was pretty amazing. And when you, and then the days that you didn't have it, you know,
I cried on your couch.
Cried on my couch. Right. It's like that poem, like when, you know, when you didn't see the footsteps, I was carrying you because that's, yeah.
Yeah. You were, and you were there for me, honestly, every step of the way behind the scenes. And she, you know, and she knew that and you guys never got to meet, but you know, like I've said before, she didn't like a lot of people. And from the get-go, she was always like, yeah, her, I like she was fine. With maybe because you called me an asshole, probably, I don't know. Also, her, you know, her birthday is coming up next week, and it is, I think, the day after Emily's, right? I think Emily is the 23rd of March, if I'm right. Yeah, she's not engaged, and my sister's the 24th, and so I thought that was like a kind of weird thing as well. So my sister's, you know, and it's been 3 years. It'll be 3 years,
which is not.
I know, it's great.
You and guys, yeah, I was going to say, like, we're not warm, lovey, happy, fuzzy, lovey so, people.
I'm doing me everything too. I can to talk about my butt.
I feel
fuzzy people.
I feel warm and fuzzy inside. And it, no, we I, you know.
It's weird and awkward. I don't like it. Can we stop?
Yeah, we can stop now. So anyway, that stuff. No. Here's how quick you can watch Celia and I avoid feelings.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, if people want to share their feelings, you know, don't
go somewhere else.
No, come join us on at Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram. You can email us your thoughts, your emotions, How we have either made your life better or horribly worse. No, that's fine. We have enough of those.
Yep.
Yep. You can email us at neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jody Sweeten. And ladies, where can everyone find you?
They can find me at the Celia Behar on Instagram and Twitter. And I feel like Emily doesn't want anyone to find her, but maybe she does.
No, Emily, that's okay. You can remain anonymous.
If you really want to find me, I know that Celia tags me in things all the time. And we'll just leave it at that.
It'll be like, where's Waldo? Where's Emily? How do you find her? She's, where in the world is Carmen, Sandy, Emily Vaughn?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, remember, you guys, remember. Keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids or your producer.
'Never Thought I'd Say This' is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.